Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 129 of Beyond the Supernatural. At the top of this page, you'll see the words, Beyond the Supernatural Game Rules. I'm reminded of an occasion when I went to a local indie wrestling show back when I lived in Northern California. It was a small town, a strange audience, a strange card full of truly strange wrestlers. I was struggling to connect all of the weirdos I was seeing in the ring, and I say that affectionately, with the names on the program, and I remember distinctly, after one match ended, hearing the ring announcer say, introducing next, Big Ugly, and thinking, none of those guys were Big Ugly? There's a bigger, uglier guy coming? That is how I feel upon encountering a page at this late stage in the book, where we are promised that we are about to begin talking about the rules of Beyond the Supernatural. But here we are, this is what we're doing. Naturally, just in time, I've reached the last of the Krabbies, and we're going to talk for a couple of days about the basics of role-playing in a way that I fear is going to be really dry. Let me just make a disclaimer off the bat. For today and tomorrow, maybe I'll be funny, and maybe I won't. What we have to talk about is some, like, role-playing theory kind of stuff. Not in an academic way, but, like, I'm always looking for how are we supposed to play these fucking games? And I think these couple of pages, today and the next page, give us a clue, maybe a crucial insight into what we're supposed to do with Beyond the Supernatural. It's pretty abstract, and if I keep trying to do real-time punch-up on it, I may never get to the end of this recording session. So bear with me, let's get into the weeds, and I'll see you on the other side in a few days here for more bullshit. I mean, we're just getting into the rules in a Palladium book. I'm not concerned about a drought of over-the-top bugfuck nonsense coming soon. So all right, this page is just an introduction to role-playing. It's a variation of what we see in every Palladium book for the new reader. To my recollection, this is maybe the most detailed about how you're meant to interact with these games. It's quite similar to what we've seen before, but I believe this version is a little different from what we've ever seen, and I think that it reveals something about attention at the heart of Palladium in the 21st century. I'm going to give you some selective quotes here to show you what I mean. The beginning of the whole page, quote, Beyond the Supernatural 2 is a game of subtlety and intelligence, suspense and secrets. It doesn't actually say subtlety, it says subtly, but I think it's meant to say subtlety, as in the copy editor of this book had a real eye for subtleties. But yes, a game of subtlety and intelligence. That's not in reference to characters, I feel. That's in reference to players. This paragraph goes on to say of Beyond the Supernatural characters, quote, they must learn all the nuances and subtleties of their abilities, all the tricks and methods to get the most out of them, and work in secret. So a lot of the things that we've seen up to this point in the book, the strange applications of different powers, the ways that they interact, unexpected power balance issues, all that stuff is part of the game. I'm not saying all of it was intentional, but I think it is part of the intended arc of the game that players and therefore characters will find clever ways to apply these seemingly underwhelming powers to achieve greater and greater effects. It's about system mastery. It's also about cleverness in engaging the fiction. From there, the text goes on to address the new player. Quote, if you have never role-played before, you're in for a treat because there's nothing like role-playing games. New players should follow one golden rule. Sit back and have fun. At first glance, a role-playing game may look intimidating. Page after page of rules and information, how can you ever learn it all? Well, relax. First of all, you don't have to learn everything there is to know about this game. That's why you have this handy book as a companion and reference. Which, the idea of a new role player who doesn't know anything about role playing trying to figure it out by using a Palladium game book as a reference is hilarious and pathetic. It's like a kid has just moved into a new neighborhood and they're worried about making friends, and their parent is like, don't worry. You can make friends, just use this as a reference, and hands them a phone book. Like, thanks. I can take it from here, I'm sure. Anyway, back to reasons not to worry about how impenetrable these game books are. Quote, second, a lot of the material is fun to read, but it's not stuff you must know. As a player, you don't need to understand every little nuance of the game. That's the game master's job. And the text goes on to commiserate with the new player about the difficulty of jargon and, you know, getting your head around how this game works. However, it says, quote, this will pass quickly. By the third or fourth time you've role-played, if not sooner, you should stop feeling like a fish out of water. The more you play, the clearer things will get and the better you'll play. That last little bit, the better you'll play, is the key to the whole thing. And it leads me to the dumbest and most fascinating thing on this page, which is the implicit contradiction in this game between two different paradigms of role-playing. My thesis here, and if you either A, don't buy this, or B, don't give a shit, please feel free to hit stop and let me finish my crabbies in peace and talk this out, but it's what I've got for this page. So my thesis is that Beyond the Supernatural is distinctively situated between two different paradigms of role-playing. An old-school D&D-influenced version of role-playing that focuses on system mastery, player skill, the role-playing game as a game where the GM sets challenges and the players use their various resources, both mechanical and out of character, to assail those challenges, versus a later model that I think was championed by Vampire the Masquerade, especially, and other World of Darkness games too, and then was later better realized in indie games that came later, where the point of role-playing is to cooperatively bring into being a satisfying story in a way where we care a lot less about successfully assailing challenges than we do about the final story of our character's success or failure being satisfying and interesting, and maybe making us openly weep or whatever. Not to make fun of that style of play, just I love artistic roleplay as much as the next guy. But like, if this is the kind of deep emotional experience you're looking for, there are ways to get here without buying so many dice. Great to have you in the community, but you know, you're not getting maximum tiers per buck on your hobby investment. These two paradigms of role-playing come together in Beyond the Supernatural, I think, because Palladium will always be based in the formative gaming experiences of the author, which come from an old-school era. They come from like the AD&D time period, and Palladium has changed in some ways very slowly, but I feel like Palladium games are still basically that. You're going to go out, you're going to fight monsters, you're going to explore exotic locations, your adventurers having adventures, and the idea of a game that is about subtlety and intelligence is that the GM is going to challenge you to be clever and like struggle to succeed in the game, struggle to play better, as the text itself says on this page. On the other hand, though, Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition is also clearly influenced by the World of Darkness games. It's a game that's meant to have a mood. That is not really Palladium's wheelhouse, I would argue, but it is Palladium's aspiration here. And you know, Trenchcoat Horror is not the worst place to try to find an intersection between these two things, because Trenchcoat Horror is largely about mood. It is dark, it is brooding, it does have all of that emotional punch of horror or urban fantasy storytelling, but the betrenchcoated characters who tend to be the protagonists in Trenchcoat Horror are generally sort of rough-edged characters with agency, some degree of power, who delve into this dark world in an effort to achieve something or learn something or get something, to fight evil or lift a curse or make up for a transgression of some kind. They're going into a hostile world and it's overwhelming in some ways. And so they just gotta, you know, shrug that trench coat up higher on their shoulders and put their heads down and go out into it as best prepared as they can be. So in that sense, they're a little like adventurers in traditional fantasy gaming. You know, the dragon is stronger than us and older than us and has better magic than us, so we got to be well prepared. We got to have a plan. It's a hostile world, and we're survivors in that world. You can see where skill becomes a factor. Unlike in straight-up horror, where we might be playing characters who are totally ill-suited to the situation we're in. We've just had a horrific and incomprehensible situation thrust upon us, and what we're really interested in seeing as like an audience to that story is the emotion. The fear, the hope, the tension, which in some cases would only be diminished by the protagonists getting their shit together and mounting some kind of boring, concerted defense against the monster. At the same time, though, the reason that I say this is the dumbest thing on this page is because I don't think this fusion or this contradiction, maybe would be a better way to put it, is totally successful in Beyond the Supernatural. I think that particularly here, when it's giving guidance to new players, you can see where there's a problem. As a new player, I'm kind of wondering, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is the point of this game? How am I supposed to approach it? And the advice is kind of hitting me with, like, on the one hand, just sit back, have fun. You don't really need to know the rules. That's for the GM. The GM's just going to ask you, what do you do? And you're going to say what you do. But on the other hand, you're also telling me my character needs to learn to exploit their abilities better. My character needs to find all the little tricks to survive, and that I'm going to become a better and better player as I learn these rules. So it feels like you're telling me it's okay not to be great at first, but there's like a skill to this game, a skill involved in like surviving and ultimately defeating the monsters that you're going to learn so that you play the game better and can defeat more monsters and be more successful. unlike in, you know, indie games or even in the original run of Vampire the Masquerade, to a certain extent, it's not really that I'm being called in as a creative collaborator so much as I'm being put in the role of making creative contributions in an underlying mechanical challenge-based system that I'm meant to gradually acclimate to and master so that I can start having agency in the challenges involved in this game. It's not that the rules about like how many SDC the monsters have or what their saves are irrelevant to what we're doing here. It's that I'm not meant to know about them to sort of create a mood of horror and a story of Trenchcoat Horror out of my, the player's experience of being thrown in the deep end of the system and then gradually learning to swim. That's not really a fusion between these two paradigms. That is a player gasping for air, slowly swimming from one of those paradigms to the other, with probably a nice sweet spot in the middle where my avatar in the game, my trench coat guy, is feeling scared and feeling tense, and that feeling is conveying to the table. But when the shit hits the fan, I'm able to whip out some clever ideas and applications of my psychic powers or whatever that allow me to narrowly defeat the monster. That's sort of an intersection point that we pass along the way from let me do whatever my character would do and then get killed by a monster to let's play Beyond the Supernatural like D&D, where we kick down the door and kill 1d8 hellhounds. The author has more to say on this topic next page, and so necessarily do I. So join me next time as we talk about what to do about the monster under the stairs on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.